Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here to our show tonight. We're live, 23rd day of the month of October. And boy, we're just moving right along in time, praise Yahweh. Well, we've got a good show lined up for you on the Rock 100.3 FM, and we are delighted to be in your midst tonight. This will be the last Saturday night that you'll hear the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy as we are realigning our schedule on 100.3 FM. Will be on Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So tune in to us, you that listen on the Rock, and we have quite a few listeners that have told us that they listen in when they get in from working time, and we hope that you've made it in today if you're working, and if not, maybe you're relaxing at home and wherever you may be. Maybe in your automobiles, you're cruising down the mountain trails there, and we hope that we've got something in the biblical format that will bless your soul. We're going to go into part 6 of The Demons from the Deep. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about one time somewhere in the past, ancient past probably, because one day with Yahweh is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But way back, whenever this happened, we just know that the book tells us it did. We take it by faith that it's true. That there was war in heaven. Now, you can find that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. These are the beasts that were excluded from membership in heaven's club, wherever that is. There is a place, and the Bible says it's out there, or up there, wherever heaven is, and we believe it's somewhere in our solar system. We haven't found it, man hasn't found it, and probably won't until it's a time to let the heavens reveal themselves and the mysteries of our Heavenly Father shall be finished, because in the last days, these unfoldments are coming. And the foundation layers across the land. You see people waking up. You see people are concerned. You see people are taking a new look at church activities, and what's really extracted from Christian church worship. Are we in the midst of a revolution, or are we in a famine in search of spiritual food? I believe the latter. And maybe the former also, because it could be a combination of both things. But anyway, the people are getting hungry. The sheep are getting restless in the barnyard, and they want soul food. Well, could it be that the reason we've been in this famine is that fallen angels have come in human form? Remember, the Bible said some have entertained angels unaware. We do know that the good angels have come. Not much is written about the bad angels, except in particular places in the Bible where Satan made his appearance and opposed Joshua, for instance. He's mentioned in the book of Zechariah and the two olive branches, where Satan opposed the revelation, the going forth, where he opposed the Messiah, the true Messiah, and literally a war born into the heavens, a war. Now, how do angels fight? I really don't know. What kind of machines do they do? I don't know. Do they ride in chariots? The Bible says so. But the Bible depicts that Yahweh's chariots are many. And Satan, being out of the same fold, being a mastermind, he's a great, you know that he's smarter than man. If man can go to the moon and send probes to Mars, we could send man there. We just don't want to expand, because without more exploration in space and better techniques and things of this nature, which will come in a matter of time, maybe it's already here. Maybe that the fallen angels are working in collusion with our governments. I strongly suspect that they are, and I've indicated so here on the radio program, and I hope and trust that that doesn't offend you or it doesn't alarm you, because the Bible says in the last days, fearful signs will come. These signs are going to be from the heavens. And I do believe that we are in the time schedule for Satan to make an appearance, not his first appearance, he's been here before, and he's coming back. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is going to come down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. Now let me repeat that. Woe unto you, for Satan is going to come down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. Now, if that's true, then we're in for I shouldn't say hell of a ride, but we're going to be in for some kind of a ride. I do know the wicked's going to be in for a hell of a ride, because that's where they're going. At the final tally, it's going to be choose up, and the Bible said choose this day who you're going to serve. And the Bible says those on the left hand got to trip out. Those on the right hand possess the kingdom. And everybody's talking about us going to heaven. What about heaven coming to us? Have you ever thought about that? That the Holy City is expressing it's going to come down out of heaven, and that the righteous will inherit the earth? I know we'd all like to go to another place and get out of this place, but what about a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? Wouldn't you want to live in a millennial, never-ending paradise where man would grow to be 40 billion years old? I mean, if I was my man. Well, let me repeat that. Can you comprehend this, what I said? In the new kingdom age, which will be eternal, men will live to be billions of years old. Oh, my heavens above. I just can't wait. I certainly can grasp the ideal, because that sounds good to me. If we possess the kingdom, and remember it's the tares, we're going to talk about them tonight, but it's the tares that are going to be ruled out. The tares, they're going to leave. So if fallen angels have come in human form to destroy us with all death, sickness, disease, and with doctrines of devils, that's what the Bible says that they do. It's pretty obvious that fallen angels have attempted to censor biblical literature over the course of Christian history. I want to repeat that. Satan is a master deceptor. And he ascribes, what about scribes? Well, let me give you the Kenite scribe scripture. I think I quoted it for you last night, but I want to leave it here for you and let you look at, the Strong's text that is indicated in the Bible about what Satan and his angels are doing. Let's go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 55 again. And the families of the scribes, that's 5608, which dwelt at Jabez, the Ishitephites. Now remember, it was Sheila, who was the progeny of the birthright. People just won't preach this. Now they'll get over into... And they will give Zara and Perez the heritage of being, you know, pure blood of Tamar and Judah. But they will never, 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 I've never heard nobody preach on this. So that's because it's controversial. It don't sit well on the you know, it's like a sour grape is setting the teeth on edge here. And it's like a possum eating a green persimmon. I mean, he can make ugly faces, you're eating the ripe ones, let alone eating the green ones. And this is a green persimmon to them. Or a green grape to set their teeth on edge. The Bible says that Judah married a Canaanite in Genesis chapter 38, and he had three sons by this Cain blood, which the Bible says will never be permitted to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I will give you an assurance that from Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent seed, the offspring of Cain, and the offspring of Yahweh, Abel. You say, well, I thought that was Adam's sons. Well, that's what you thought. But if you go deeper into dimensional sequence, remember that the Garden of Eden was not just some lush garden with, a vegetable garden where Adam was put in there to work. Matter of fact, Adam didn't have any right to work. He was created to, the earth was going to yield to him instead of him yielding to the earth and the thorns and the briars and the thistles that he yielded to him later under the curse. But before the transgression, this was not a lovely, lush garden, agricultural garden to farm in. That's not what it was. This garden paradise was a dimensional space. A place where joy, eternal life, and extension of the seed. Remember, the Bible says in Revelation 22:16 that the Messiah that we serve, called Jesus Christ in the New Testament, is the root of David. Now, I want to ask you one simple question in genetics. Think about this and let this soak into you. I told you that we were going to live for billions of years in the new kingdom upon the earth. Now, will we be permitted to go back to the other planet systems that we possibly came from, in the Pleiades and the constellation of Orion and other star systems that are, I believe, the Bible speaks, it don't speak of world, it speaks of worlds. Now, if these worlds are real, they must be inhabited by either a lower species, could be a higher species, or could be both. I don't know where Earth is in the chain, but I got a feeling it's probably the lowest level because man will stoop to any low level if he can through lust to sell his soul for the pleasures of sin. And so I think it's probably the lowest level you can get. I know hell is the darkness that is reserved for Satan and his angels. We'll get into that in just a minute. But let me tell you something about Christian history. In fact, you'd almost expect that Satan would attack the book, that Satan would think to change the love letter. And did you know that the Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected, the builders was the translators or the scribes. This word scribe here is the Shinaites, the Shinaites of the Shelites. From the progeny of Judah and the lady from Cainville. This was a serpent tear seed that Judah lustingly, ignorantly, foolishly went in and laid with her and created this hybrid seed. Yahweh killed the first two, Er. Well, that's emergency room, isn't it? And that's abbreviation for a special program on television, ER, where they're operating on and creating miracles in the emergency room. Well, they don't tell you the true facts. You people that get sick and go to the hospital, you better watch. There's more people that die in the hospital, particularly in emergency rooms, than any place in the world. So that's the last place you want to go to. So next time you check into the emergency room, you ought to be aware that ER could be a bad place to go. Er. That was the name of Judah's first son. Now, remember, Er was the birthright receptor. Judah automatically would have given his birthright heritage for the house of Judah to Er, had Er lived. Now, Er died. We say, well, did he get sick and have a tuberculosis? No. Did he catch a whooping cough? No. Did he fail to get his immunization? No. Was he a party boy and got drunk? And no. Well, what was it, Pastor Buddy? What disease killed him? If you want to go to the 38th chapter and read the book, well, I'm going to indict a man named Yahweh, and Yahweh killed him. That's what the book says. Yahweh killed him because he was evil. This first son from Judah and the Cain-blooded woman was evil. The second son was evil, and he killed him. Now left the third son, Shelah. And this is where the word Shumalites comes from here in the 53rd and the 55th verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And listen to what it says. These are the Kenites that came to Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. Kenites. Scribes. Look at word up, 5608. Scribes are someone that has the authority to go in and translate or copy the text of the Bible. Would you trust them? I want to ask you a question. Did Christ trust them? Did he tell you to trust them? Did he tell you to? Oh, they're wonderful people, Pastor Buddy. You know, they're God's chosen people. I've heard it all. What did the Messiah say about them? Beware of them. Beware. What was their job? To get in and use the pen, the lying pen of the scribes. How long is it going to take us here, us so-called goody-goody-two-shoe Christians, to come up to speed and be ornery enough and stubborn enough to tell the truth on the devil? Instead of compromising and saying, oh, well, he'll be all right, there's no problem. I'm telling you, folks, we're getting our lunch eat every day by compromising with these devils. When are we ever going to stand up for something? Because we have certainly in the past fell for everything. And as the old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Well, that's exactly what we've done, because we've not stood for nothing. Is there any backbone, any guts, or is there any prophets that will cry loud and spare not and show my people their sins? Are we so ignorant? Well, I just don't want to get involved. That's a pretty sticky situation, and I wouldn't want to make no enemies here, Pastor Buddy. What do you think that the Messiah, the God of the universe, the literal God incarnated of the universe, that came down here as an elder brother among us and was hated and despised and spit on and ridiculed and called a demonic demon and finally killed by people that he spoke well of? He had the guts and intestinal fortitude to call a spade a spade. I mean, if you're sitting in a poker game and you keep on giving the good cards away and agreeing with your adversary sitting across from you trying to skin you, you ain't going to last long in the game. You're going to be kicked out, stripped bare, and made destitute. Well, that's exactly what has happened to the house of Israel, because we have failed. We wanted to mix with the tares, the enemy, the beast of the earth. Did you know that Justin Martyr suggested that fallen angels had infiltrated the highest offices of the church and changed the interpretation of the books of the Bible? This was a noted author and scholar in the Catholic Church. Did you know that the Catholic Church held under wraps for 1,500 years, the New Testament Bible, that we didn't have one until the 15th century. Are you aware of that? That we did not have us Christians, that we call ourselves Christians. Now, we got a 1,500-year late start, and somebody got a 1,500-year head start, and we trust them to give us a New Testament Bible without any questions or reservations or suspicions? Should we not do what the Bible said? Search the Scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life? Was it telling us that something could have been added or taken away? Oh, no, Pastor Buddy. I mean, you know, these are holy men of God. Beware, after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, and they won't spare the love letter for the flock. Adding to and taking from. The warning is there. Christ told us himself not to trust the people that we've trusted to write the Bible for us, or to copy the Bible for us, or to give it verbatim, just like it come out of the mouth of God. And some of these foolish preachers get on the radio and say, I believe that the King James Bible, the glory to God, is just like it come out of the mouth of God. Glory to God. All of the Bible is pure. Not one word fails. Well, that's true when it comes out of the mouth of God, our eternal Father. But when men of corrupt minds, you see, Satan was the first translator in the world. And the first thing he done was take a three-letter word and turn it into one of the most weightiest matters upon the earth. The day that you eat of it, you shall not, M-O-T, surely that, T-O-N, if you reverse not in English. You don't think that word weighs a whole lot? Turn around backwards and spell not backwards and see what you get. You're going to get you a ton of trouble for falling into the trap of the lying translator. The first scribe in the Bible was Satan. No wonder Christ knew the scribes and their lineage. Aaron, Onan was from the serpent seed. Shelah was from the serpent seed. From Judah and Shua, the Canaanite woman. Now, Shua, producing Shelah with Judah, and Judah, not willing to have his third son killed by Yahweh, hid him from the Lord. You say, well, now the Lord wouldn't bother you. He's that sweet little Jesus. Glory to God, John died. Well, folks, I mean, you say, Pastor Buddy, don't make fun of people. Well, Elijah made fun of the lying scribes of Baal Hill. Why can't I? He ridiculed them sons of Baal. He wasn't about to give in after he'd run from that silly woman, that Jezebel, literally ran his legs off into the wilderness to hide in a cave, and Yahweh found him there after a 40-day trek into the woods. What are you doing up here, Elijah?
Well, let me tell you my troubles. Old Jezebel is, she's seeking my life. She's killed all the Yahweh prophets, and I'm the only one left, Lord, and she's going to kill me, I'm afraid.
Well, what did that little still small voice tell him? Elijah, stand on your feet and be a man. Get up there on Mount Carmel. You gather the people together. And you stand up as my representative. I will assure you that they 7,000 be up on that mountain that's never bowed the knee and kissed the ring of bell. Now you get up there and stand up like a man and face this woman Jezebel. You know what the Bible says in the Revelation that takes that same analogy? This Jezebel, it's written in the book of Revelations, chapter 3, I believe it is. Who, I'm going to cast you in the bed. You people got a choice now. You're either going to serve me and suffer for my name and my power and my truth, or I'm going to cast you in the bell with that prophetess that calls herself Jezebel. When you go to bed with her, you're going to get caught with your pants down, and I'm going to bust your behind, and I'm going to kick you out of the kingdom because you are salt that's lost its savor, and you ain't fit for nothing to be trod under the foot of the righteous when they inherit the earth. Isaiah 66:22-23. Oh, I can't wait for that day when we're going to live to be billions of years old. Man, you talk about wisdom and knowledge and love and peace and shalom and all these other good things that these other things that I could throw in there that would be blessing to your heart and your mind and your soul. Are we so blind today that we don't believe that nobody would tamper with a Bible? In the 2,000 years since Satan, he started out tampering with it from the word go, the first sentence of instructions out of the mouth of the Holy One Yahweh was altered and changed slyly, very subtle, added one word to the original text. You know what the Bible says about those that add one word? All the plague that's written in the Bible, and for the curse of Satan will be added on you. I'm telling you, there's going to be some of these beasts I'm talking about tonight. Here we see that fallen angels. Now, let me first say that Justin Martyr suggested that fallen angels had really infiltrated the highest offices of the church and the government and changed the interpretation of the books of the Bible. And they desire to remove any evidence of fallen angelic activity prior to and after the flood. This is why that any book that made reference to the Book of Enoch was immediately censored. Remember, the Book of Enoch was censored and taken out for what I'm preaching about. I preached a 12-hour message 2 weeks ago, 12 hours on the fallen angels. On the Sunday night that I finished up the 12th message, Satan hit me right in my solar plex. I mean, he knocked me down for 5 days. That was to start the Festival of Tabernacles. He knocked me, and I hadn't missed one in years and years and years. This is the first time that I'd been sick, but this is the first time that I'd preached 12 hours and revealed some of the secrets of the fallen angels. I was not flat on my back, could not eat one bite or drink one drop of fluid that would stay on my stomach. For 5 days, I laid quietly on a bed. I didn't have any pain, but I was so blind with drunkenness. My head was spinning like I had drunk a gallon of Tennessee moonshine, and I've drunk a little bit of that in my past. And I tell you what, a good pint of it will set you on your bottom. A half a gallon will put you in la-la land for a long time. A gallon would kill you. And it seemed like I drunk a gallon of moonshine straight down and couldn't as much as move a muscle hardly. Every time I'd open my eyes, the ceiling would start spinning like a top. And for 5 days, I laid there and did nothing but pray. And then it began to dawn on me that I had revealed something that the gods of this earth, the beast of this earth, had been so offended by that they attacked me physically as they did Job. And when I come to that realization, I turned my prayers around and I started to say, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. And ladies and gentlemen, just as suddenly as it came on after the fifth day of laying there suffering, not able to eat one bite of any solid food, and couldn't as much as keep water down. I'm telling you, this is the truth. I try to drink water, and just one little sip would start me to the bathroom. And I would stagger and crawl blind. been my stomach, anything, any thought of food, I couldn't even think about food or anything. I was so sick. And then I realized that Satan and his angels were trying to stop or make me pay for the 12 tapes that I had done on fallen angels. And here I am now, again, on the demons from the deep. And that's what the Father told me when I got back from the festival. I made the last 4 days of the festival. I extended it one day and taught and baptized people in the name of Yahweh. And I was very blessed to be there. Although I was so weak that they would have to hold me up. And when I would move from one location to another, and I had to have a brother to assist me and hold on to it. First time in my life I've ever had somebody lead me around. I was still under the effects, but I got myself up after the fifth day and drove myself to North Carolina by myself. Maybe with a few of the good boys with me. Did you know that any book that made reference to the Book of Enoch was immediately considered to be censored? The Book of Jude and the Book of 2 Peter were almost, it was a strong debate, I don't know whether you know this or not, but it was almost left out due to their specific quotes taken from the Book of Enoch. That's how much the devil don't want you to know about what you should know about the devil and his angels. Now we say that these fallen angels have crept in unaware, these demons from the deep. Remember, and I'll give you a scripture for it, and I've done quoted it, but I want to reiterate it. Where does it say that angels can take on human form? Well, let me give you a scripture. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13, verses 13, 14, and 15, listen to me. I'll read to you. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself and his angels have transformed themselves into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, remember, angels is nothing but ministering spirit, and Satan's got them also. And everything that you hear in these churches, these Christian churches, are absolutely not apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled preachers. I'm going to give you an estimate to say that at least 90% are working deceitfully. They're lying for filthy lucre. They got such a good thing going, they wouldn't let truth come in if it smacked them in the face. I know, because I have tried to enter these bell boxes, I call them. And that's no disrespect to a church. I said last night that I believe that there are many, many good practicing Christians with sincere and honest hearts. But you can be sincerely wrong and believe a lie and go to hell. So just because you claim to be a Christian, you better get your duff up. You better get out of the joke books and get out of the dumb cube and get out of the ball games and who's won in the World Series and who's the local pro team that's doing this and all this crap that we got entertainment. Most of them's Christians. They wouldn't fast 5 days if they had to. And I fasted 40 because I wanted to. Just to see what will be on the other side of a 40-day fast. And you know the old commercial, you asked for it and you got a Toyota? Well, I asked for it and I got it. Well, I didn't get a Toyota. I got run over by a Mack truck. My mind opened up to secrets and revelations that were so hated and despised, I felt like the lone stranger and no longer a ranger. I mean, I was a devil chasing one God apostolic, Holy Ghost filled preacher for 30 years. And the devil was just right in my amen corner, buddy. He was shouting right with me. You say that the devil can assist you in the ministry? For Satan himself is transforming into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They go get out and say, well, won't you get you a gun and kill somebody? Satan deceives you by being good. Oh, he's a goody-goody two-shoe till he gets you. And then you'll hear that hideous laugh as he sends you to hell with all nations that forget the king. Whose end shall be according to their works. Satan's ministers are his angels that serve him night and day. And people will sell out There's instances where in the Bible where men of promise, men that had a choice, that could have took the road, the hard road, the narrow road, the straight and narrow, the hated road, the despised road. Did you know in Matthew 10:22 it says, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake"? Who's going to hate you? Who's going to hate you for the name of Jesus? It's a name that the Christians have begun to meet with, and they worship and praise it day and night. But like I said last night, you can't read it in the King James Bible. You say, "I'm reading my glory to God." You can read it in the one that's been altered and changed. The original text don't contain the name J-E-S-U-S. I done told you that. That's the original. Now, why would you believe in something that's been altered and changed from its original text to include J-E-S-U-S when the original text didn't have J-E-S-U-S in it?
Well, that's just a technicality. It's a minute point.
Not important. God's got many names. Shun that. I've heard that argument. And I've been thrown out of more churches. I got fingers and toes. You know what I was thrown out? For bringing up controversial subjects. I just can't help myself. There's just so many questions that I need to know about here in the Bible. And if you got any intestinal fortitude in you and you really want to make heaven as a billion year, I mean, when I say, if I make it, and I tell you, I don't even know where I'm going to make it or not. I really don't. I'm telling you, this is going to be a close call, Job said, by the skin of my teeth. And the Bible said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I don't even know where I qualify for that or not. I wonder if I'm doing my best because I'm hated and despised and forsaken gives me a clue that I may be on the right track. If I was loved and appreciated and adored and patted on the back and feel my... I used to go to revivals, and I tell you, people would come up to me, and they wouldn't even hand the money to me. They'd just walk up to my coat pocket and stuff it full. I've had my coat pocket stuffed full of $50, $100, $20s, $10s, $5s, $1s. I'd get home, it'd take me an hour to count my proceeds. Just, you know, personal offerings. Look, counting what the church took me up to have the revivals. Man, that was pretty nice. I sort of enjoyed that, going to a bank on Monday morning. Pocket full of money. Cash. Didn't even have to file income tax on it. I didn't want to. That's a piece of cake. All I had to do is lie. You say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, were you in the news of a preacher and you was lying to him?" I wasn't lying intentionally. I was lying deceitfully. I'd been deceived. So some of the things that I used to preach, I don't preach no more. I question. And when I do that, of course, the people that used to give me money now hate me. And the people that used to hate me now give me a little money. Things I once loved and now hate, and things I once hated and now it's just a paradox of opposites where my life is transformed. You'll have your life transformed too. If you get into the whole council and you accept the true name, not the false name, not a substitute name, not a make-believe name, not a seen-right name, but a name above all names provable 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone, right from my free track. Hallelujah. I've got all references how the Bible was, the name was translated out of the Bible. See, Satan is a translator. I'm just telling you. He's a translator. Now let's go to Matthew 25:41. Then say also to them on the left hand, remember I told you about the sheep and the goats of Matthew 25:31? Well, if you read through 31 to 41, you're going to see that the goats are going to the left hand, and listen to what he's going to tell them. Depart from me, you cursed. Who's talking to? Go back to Genesis 3:14 and 15 and say who is cursed. Satan and his offspring, because he said, "Cursed is your seed, Satan." And the first thing out of Satan's bowels was Cain. And Cain began to, and now the Bible says that he went east. Now, if he goes east, he goes into the Asiatic Oriental countries, and that's where the word Cain originated, because if you look up the word Cain, Strong's number 7013, it says an Oriental host. We got a lot to fear, ladies and gentlemen. because Cain's seed is going to literally take over. And his agents are right here in the United States being placed in the government and the churches. They devalued the Bible by changing it. They took out things that should have been left in there. And things that should have been written that were not written, that comes by revelation, and that's where a prophet comes in. That's where we catch them. I've caught a lot of things that the devil has done in the New Testament. Several things in the Old that they have tampered with the evidence, praise God. Now, if everlasting fire is for Satan's angels, then he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from you, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what that fire is? Darkness. You say, well, that's a paradox. Yep. There is no light in hell. It's completely void of light. Satan loves darkness, so the Father's going to give him just exactly what he loves, and the people that go with him there are going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not one drop of light will you get. And the fire is only that rages in the inner being, for you want to escape the place and you ain't going to get out. Cursing and gnashing of teeth and the darkness that would make the plague of darkness in Egypt seem like a cakewalk. Could it be that the tares that's spoken of in the 13th chapter of Matthew will only be the non-human offspring of Satan? These are the angels that come down and became flesh. And not only that, they mated with women to produce non-human hybrids that can be filled with these devils' influence and spirit. In all the cultures worldwide, we have stories that center around the two events. One was that there was a great worldwide flood, and the other is that the flood, after the flood, the gods came down and mated with women. They were even human-looking and produced these shape-shifting demons of reptilian forms, and we have examples all over the earth in man's recorded cultures. Now listen to this in the book of Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 43, for your information. And whereas you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another. They are trying to breed out the curse of Genesis 3:14 on the serpent race. They're going into extinction. They cannot reproduce the curse that was put on by Yahweh. They're trying to overcome this through breeding, interbreeding with man. And yet, it says here that they will think to mix their seed, the clay, the mortal clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men and the holy seed. Now, you know Adam was created with clay, don't you? And thus we are clay. So he tried to mix with miry clay. Satan tried to infest and has done a great job according to Matthew 13. Who is the one that sowed the good seed? You know, you'd say, well, Adam. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, I didn't say Adam there. Adam was a result of the good seed. The originator of the progenitor is that man that claimed to be the root and the offspring of the good seed. Satan is the root and the offspring of the bad seed. And therefore, we have the gods warring right among us. Some have entertained these angels, gods, unaware that we call gods. But as it says in the book of Psalms, they'll die like beasts. Now, let me show you something here as we go up to continue. Did you know the Bible said that all flesh is not the same flesh? 1 Corinthians 15:39-40 for reference. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies of terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And my question is this. Are these beasts that is mentioned offered any salvation? Question. Answer. No. Only man that descended from the royal bloodline of Yahweh has an eternal covenant contract to go back to heaven. My sheep, which is Yahweh's bloodline and progeny, came out from heaven to an earth that they were strangers and pilgrims in, and were told to subdue it. And you think that when Yahweh told them to subdue it, they ain't going to succeed? Well, then you haven't read Isaiah 66, verses 22 through 24. If you read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, we win. Tomorrow night on WWCR 5070 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific, 7 Central, and 8 Mountain Time, I'm going to be on WWCR talking about the Book of Life, people. I would, if you're listening tonight, I would appreciate if you tuned in to that show. I'm live, as I am here tonight, on the 23rd day. Praise Yahweh. So, are beasts going to heaven? Let's see. Does the word beast mean oxen and cattle and such? No. If you go to the book of Jonah in chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, you'll see that the cattle and the sheep and the goats and things of this nature were commanded not to be fed by the law that Yahweh proclaimed through the prophet Jonah and the king of Nineveh, being an Israelite. Or the Israelites being in Nineveh, being captives of Nineveh, commanded all the beast. Now, we're not talking about the two-legged beast. There is a difference. I'm going to give you the words, and that's a whole other message, but I'll try to get in briefly because I don't have time to cover tonight because my time just melted away, and I ain't even going to get time to get into one-third of what I wanted to get into the message tonight. That's how potent and much to be said on this subject, but it's, you know, travel at your own risk here. I was sick unto death for 5 days, but you know what the Bible says? Fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but fear him that is able to destroy the body and cast the soul away. That's the man I fear. And that's the first one with the latter one. The man that I serve has to be in total control. And if I'm not willing to give my life, I'm not worthy to be a servant, no way. I ain't come here to live forever. I come here to die as soon as I can. To die is gain. I want gain.
Well, if that's the money, I'll stay here as long as I call you.
What do you want to do, play bingo? What's your favorite sports team? Win one more World Series? Well, you know, I'm on skin sanctions, 1918, glory to God. And I just got to see them. I couldn't listen to you last night, but after many times the Renaissance is playing, and I'm going to see them win one more World Series before I depart. My heavens above, lovers of pleasure. Dead, walking around, people that's one step away from death, one heartbeat away from death, and all they got on their mind is the pleasures of the world. Better wake up and smell the coffee. There's something more important to do here, and that's to find your way through this great maze of confusion that Satan and his ministers. Did you know that the Bible says that he commanded man and beast to don sackcloth and ashes? Have you ever seen a cow put on sackcloth and ashes? What was this beast dwelling with the people of Nineveh? He was able to put on sackcloth and ashes and fast and call on the name of Yahweh by lifting up his hands. A cow don't have no hands, folks. Well, listen here. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretians, or the Cretians, are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies, Titus 1 and verse 12. The Cretians are always liars and evil beasts and slow bellies. Think they're going to heaven? How is a cow or an oxen evil? Have they sinned? He just said, man, don't feed your animals. You got something important to do. You better put on sackcloth and ashes, and you beast here among them, you better put it on too. And the Bible said both man and beast did it. And they lifted up their hands. I'm telling you, you better get in the Bible and you better pray, and suddenly you better find out what's going on. This ain't a gun smoke episode. This is hell and brimstone and certain destruction if you fail. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, verse 13. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness instead of righteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And so these beasts feast with us. Jonah, book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. You say, well, they can be saved if they confess Jesus. I'm telling you what, we got more Christians trying to save the devil than we got Christians trying to save Christians. I never seen a beat. While we go over and take care of business in Iraq and stick our nose where we oughtn't to be, have our soldiers, bless their heart, they go for a noble cause, fighting a rich man's war. And right here, our borders are open. They'll be guarding our borders against the beast that are coming in to eat with you one of these days. Be eating with your daughters. Be marrying your daughters, just like they were doing back then. Same thing's happening right here in America, ladies and gentlemen. And here's Pastor Buddy. I get all kinds, tons of hate mail for preaching messages like I preach. And yet I keep going on. It doesn't discourage me. I know what I am, and I know who I am, and I know who I believe in, and I know what the just cause is. And if I'm not willing to suffer with him, I ain't going to reign with him, that's for sure. If I don't tell the truth, it's because the truth ain't. You know what the Bible says about charity? Charity suffers long and rejoices in one thing. T-R-U-T-H, truth. These people out here taking up telephones, well, oh, the sister died, and, you know, she was a lovely saint, glory to God, and we need to carry on the missionary work that she was involved in. She was over in the deep African jungles, and she was saving all of those people over there, glory to God, and we need money. Send us money. And these preachers are up begging for the money, and these telephones, homosexuals, perverts, showboys, playboys, sinful, eating, drinking, and being merry, robbing the poor, begging from widows, taking wages from widows, with these emotional, carnal tales that they get them tell. Cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children. My heavens. Unstable souls. What if God wouldn't just show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? You say that ain't done. We're going to save them all. Yeah, you're going to save them all right. You're going to save them for the day of destruction when he said, depart from me, I never knew you.
But Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name.
I never knew you. You see, Yahweh's not going to save any tires. He's going to bundle and burn them. Yahweh's not going to save any wicked servants. He's going to slay them before him. Just like he slayed Aaron Onan. He should have got the Shelite that inherited the birthright of Judah. You know, the elder son got the birthright, ladies and gentlemen. The law was broken back there. It was Shelah got the birthright, and he produced the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. They love the chief seats, and they're in it. And they're in good and entrenched in there, and Christians is worshiping them. We call them God's chosen people. Man, how Satan is transformed. Well, this is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call tonight. 100.3 FM on the Rock. Our service is down periodically here and there, and I don't even know we're up tonight. I don't think we are. But I'm coming to you from the Rock. This is my last Saturday night. I've enjoyed being with you. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight, 3 White and 21. I'm able to take your call and treat you right. I'll answer all your questions, and it won't end up in a fight. I love you. Anyway, if you oppose yourself, I'll just let you frill in the air. But if you want to talk sweet counsel, and let's get together. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight, I'm live. I'll take it. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. buddy1@centurytale.net. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this old boy's going to have to get on down the road. And I'll see you Monday night on 100.3 FM on microbroadcasters.com at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, and 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific Standard Time. That's it, buddy. I'll see you on down the line. Yahweh bless you. I'm sorry, 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 I'm sorry